Okay, we're up to Mishnah 13, Yud Gimel, Pirkei Avot, the first chapter. Hu haya Omer? Who is who? Who is Hillel? He's the one that was speaking before. He used to say like this. This is a great tongue twister of a Mishnah. If you could say this very fast three times, I'd be very impressed. Negad shma avad shmeid, la moisif yosef, la yalef ketara chayav, bishtamesh betaga chalaf. Sounds a little Arabic. It's Aramaic. What does it mean? Negad shema avad shmei. A guy that seeks fame, he's going to lose his name. He's going to lose his reputation. Udala moisif, a guy that doesn't add to his literally. It means add to his Torah knowledge. Yosef, he detracts from it, takes away. Udala yalef, and if he doesn't learn altogether, ketala chayav, he is chayav death. He's chayav Misa. V'dishtamesh betaga chalaf. And he who uses the crown of the Torah will perish. So that's what the Mishnah says. It's the Aramaic Mishnah all of a sudden. Most of the Mishnahs are written somewhat in Hebrew. And all of a sudden you got this fully Aramaic Mishnah. So everyone speaks about why this is. So the Tiferes Yisrael, the Yachid explains that basically since this Mishnah is dealing with the all too common trait of conceit, so the Mishnah wanted to make it as accessible as possible, and so it said it in the language that people in those days spoke. The people in those days mostly spoke Aramaic, so even though, you know, they learned in Hebrew and stuff sometimes, but they spoke Aramaic. So the Mishnah Hillel just spoke it out in Aramaic so that everyone would be able to understand what this Mishnah is talking about, not to be filled with haughtiness. So the Bnei Yisrael, he offers a totally different reason for the use of Aramaic. It's a little bit interesting of the reason. He says there's a custom that when you're speaking about a Jew that's not feeling well, that's sick, so you say, as the Bnei Yisrael says, you say he's krank, he's sick. You say it in English, in Yiddish, some other language. You don't say it in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh. But when you're speaking about a Gentile, there you could say, chole, you know, he's sick. He says, why? He says, because the words that are spoken in the Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew have such a power to affect things that a person says that guy's sick in Hebrew, it can make him, it can keep him sick. So therefore, when we speak about Jews or even righteous Gentiles, I would imagine the same thing would apply, that we don't say it in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, we say it in English, Yiddish, whatever the language is. So you see that it has a very powerful effect. And like, so what do these Aramaic words mean in our Mishnah? So the Bar Tanura is the first stop to look what this means. So he says like this, Negad Shemei Avad Shema, a guy, Negad is from the Lashon of Mashiach, of drawing, he says. So he's saying it's someone that's always drawing Shemei, like a fame and greatness to himself. Avad Shemei, in the end he's going to lose all of the fame that he might have even had, or that he has. Right? You see all the politicians and the movie people, they want to be more and more and more famous, eventually it destroys them. But La Moisif Yosef, and a guy that doesn't constantly add to his knowledge, La Moisif, he's not adding, he will either Yosef, he says one way of understanding that is forget. A guy that's not constantly adding to his Torah knowledge will forget. Or Yosef can mean die. Literally, a person that's not constantly adding to his knowledge could die. La yalef ketal chayav, and a guy that doesn't start to learn in the first place, he says ketal chayav. He has a death sentence on him from Shemayim, because he's not connecting to the Torah. The Torah is the tree of life; it's that which gives us life. So he's chayav misa. Why are you not connecting to the tree of life? Ude ishtamish betaga chalach, and someone who uses the crown of Torah for his personal usage. So he passes away also from this world. Chalaf, he passes from this world. That's the first shot of what the Bar Tanura understands as Udishtamish Bataga, guy uses the crown, he passes away. The second one is a very interesting shot. He says that Taga is actually a Rosh HaTevis. Usually the Bar Tanura doesn't go in the Rosh HaTevis. It sounds like a Hasidish Vart. But here he says Talmid Gavra Achrina. He literally means the student of another. Meaning that he says that someone that takes another person's student and he grabs him as his own, he steals him away, this is considered basically a not a very, very bad type of stealing, and therefore he's chayv misa. The third shot the Bartanura has in Udishtamish Betaga Chalaf, to use the crown of Torah, here he says the crown means the name Yudke Vavke. This is even more Kabbalistic for the Bartanura to bring down. He says that a person that uses the Shema Saktoshim, the Kabbalistic ways of putting together the names of Hashem for his own usage, he is someone that could also pass away. And he could not only lose his portion in this world, but in the next world. It's not stuff that we're supposed to use. Rabbi Shik, he says that this applies even to a tzaddik that knows how to use the Shema Sakadoshim. He knows the Kabbalah. He's a real tzaddik. Still, he should not use it. Oh, even that. Still, he should not use it for his own self. We're just thinking about a tzaddik. Now you walked in a kilo. Wow.
With a fresh haircut.
With a fresh haircut and a beard cut. And things don't happen for like by accident in Judaism. We don't believe in that. Yeah. You're tired of it.
You going someday?
It's Shem. We'll speak.
Still don't know.
You don't want to go to Super Bowl?
Super Bowl?
Of course.
What's Super Bowl?
It's the Itchy Bowl.
The Itchy Bowl, yeah. Everyone's got to be there. If his wedding was in America, he would have been up the creek. Yeah. No one would have come. Now it's perfect. You go to his wedding, and then you're ready. Once dancing over, you go straight to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It can get better. He should set it up there. That would be a good piece. Then everyone would stay for the mitzvah times. Anyways.
It's 1:30, I think it starts.
What? The game?
Yeah, the game.
Right.
Oh, so
that's
good.
Okay, so it's a night of party.
So I'll put on the cholent before we go.
Okay.
The cholent
ball.
Then what do we do? How am I involved in this?
You can bring your candies.
Get Richard to bring his popcorn, you got a party.
Yeah.
Anyways. So we were just speaking about.
How much fully today? You have a good time?
Yeah.
We were speaking about a tzaddik. Yeah?
He's in the cola too, by the way. I don't know if you know.
Hey, look at Tzadik. Who?
Yes.
We were Chavrusis for a long time.
Don't let it fool you that he ain't got a fully. It's not just the haircut, nothing else.
No.
All business.
Serious guy, this guy. So even a tzaddik, the Mishnah says, the nishtamish betaga chalap, the guy that uses the crown of Torah for his personal use, can get
dot.
No. They went already? No?
Yeah, he was there last Shabbat.
Last Shabbat. Right. So he who uses the crown of Torah to die, even a tzaddik that knows how to use the Shema Sakadoshim, he knows Yud Kei Vav Kei, he knows how all the permutations and what to do, don't use it for your own personal use. There's a famous story about the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov, when he was younger, he was once stuck at a river, and he had absolutely no way of getting by, and he really had to get by. And so, you know, he was pretty proficient in the Kabbalah, so he just said a quick name, and he, you know, scooted across the river. He scooted across the river. That's what the Baal Shem Tov did with a shame. But then, right after, he caught himself, and he was really, really broken over what he did. Here he used the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kabbalistic incantation, to go ahead and pass over a river. He felt terrible. So his whole life he was doing tshuva and tshuva and tshuva, and mom was working on rectifying such a thing that he felt was a very big sin. And finally, another point in his life, he had the zchus to do, like the Rambam says, a tshuva samishkal, which means a balanced tshuva, meaning you come to the same situation. So he came to the same situation, he was running away, I don't know exactly what happened, maybe it was the story with the cannibals, who knows, but he was running away, and he came to a river, and he had no way of getting over, and he had to get over, so he just took his garkel out, and said, Hashem, if you want to save me, you'll help me. And he just threw the garkel out, and walked across the river. And he said, just relying on Amunah, no Kabbalah, no nothing. And he felt unbelievable. What? He walked on the garkel. It was like the magic carpet, you know. Usually gargoyles sink. Maybe it was like a floaty gargoyle.
Okay, cool. You
always have Bechira to know exactly.
An inflatable gargoyle.
An inflatable gargoyle, right.
There was only one.
Two of them. One of those really thick inflatable gargoyles.
No, he went over the gargoyle on a motorcycle.
That's why the Hasidim wear those thick gargoyles. Anyways, so that was the story. He was very happy that he relied upon the on a Muna. And instead of relying on the usage of any Shema Saktoshim, any using any Kabbalah for personal usage. Yochin explains this Mishnah, which speaks about conceit, in a different way. Similar to the Bartanura, but he always has these beautifully poetic ways of speaking. And so we'll quote some of his poetry. Yochin, the Tiferes Yisrael. He's another.
Makes a very good
he does.
Akiva got to Shmuley's
a guy that chases after honor will lose any honor that he has already possesses. He adds like this, and even if he has attained all of the most beautiful attributes of character perfection, they will seem like dimmed flames, devoid of the eternal light of humility. Those are his words in English. Basically he's saying that no matter what a person has, he could be the holiest guy. There's that famous story with the with the priest, you know, a rabbi and a priest. How does the story go again?
They went to the bar,
right? There is a story.
And then the rabbi put it over there. He blocked his face, and the priest covered it down there. So then someone asked, like, you know, I went, what's it called? Why
are
we covering things? Like, why
can't
probably recognize you on
the
face?
Did you know how they make shrimp? Did you tell them how they make
shrimp? Yeah, we heard the shrimp one quite a few times.
The priest, they recognize it.
Yeah. No, the priest one is like basically. Basically, I think it was even with the Baal Shem Tov that he was with this priest, and they told him about this priest that is like the biggest tzaddik in the world. So so he said he's like a tzaddik. So the Baal Shem Tov had to check this out. So he went, he hung out with the guy, the Jews, and everyone was saying, like, he was famous. He mamash met with him. 2-3 days he spent with the guy, talking and going around and everything. The guy was mamash a tzaddik. He didn't get angry no matter what. People could curse him out into his face. He was a tzaddik. He didn't look at women. He was really a tzaddik. Finally, the Baal Shem Tov was just totally confused. And then when he was about to leave, the priest turns to him and he goes, "So no, it's true what they say, right?" So he said, okay, great. Now I see, you know. He could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but he still has that conceit, like, I'm the biggest tzaddik in the world. That's what the Yochanan is saying. That's mamish. You could have all the attributes in the world. It's like dim flames, devoid of eternal light of humility. You have to have humility. It's the most important thing that brings it all together.
So he's not a big tzaddik, really.
Right. He was acting as a big tzaddik. Udala Moisif Yosef, and not adding will detract. So what does this mean? First, he still gives 3 reasons why a person doesn't want to add to what he's already learned. Why would a person not add? So one reason is he feels like he knows everything. I learned the whole Torah, I know this, I know that. Why do I have to learn more? Fine. The second reason is that he finds flaws in every Rav and Rebbe. Right? Oh, that rabbi doesn't really know everything, and that rabbi doesn't really know anything. So therefore, he doesn't listen to any of them. And the third is a little bit the opposite. He feels that he has so little self-confidence that he feels like if he's in shir and he's learning and he asks a question and everyone thinks he's so stupid, so then he's going to end up being like this little guy. Whatever the reason is, he doesn't go to rabbanim, he doesn't go to shir, he doesn't go to anything, and he ends up
at the barbershop.
For whatever reason, the person does not add, and this deficiency could cause him to die prematurely, he says. Why? Because he's cutting himself off from the purpose of life. This is what the Yachin says. To constantly grow in Torah, Torah knowledge and observance. Right? Basically, it comes out that a guy that says, Hashem, I know enough Torah, I don't need any more Torah. Okay, you know, maybe I'll learn this or that, but not really. You know, I'm not going to really learn. He's not pounding away and learning. You see the things they have, like even videos of Rabbi Yashiv or tapes of Rabbi Yashiv learning at like 100, you know, sitting there learning over the Gemara, 100 years old, he went through shots like 8,000 times.
He's got to learn all the practice.
You know, you keep going. The guy that says, I already learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and according to this Yashiv, could say, you already finished learning? He's like, yeah, okay, come back, enough. A person has to be, if he wants to be in this life, he has to say, I'm continuously learning. There's a story about the Avnei Nezer, who became a great big tzaddik and Lamdin and Rebbe. And when he was young, when he was like 14 years old, he became very sick. This is the way Rav Shlomo says the story. With a lot more musical interlude and stuff like that, but I'll leave that out.
He became very, very sick.
He was very, very sick.
Very sick.
So his father went to the Kutzke Rebbe to ask him to daven on behalf of his son. When his father came to the Kutzker, he said, my son is this, my son is that, and he's a goyin, he's an unbelievable genius, he finished this, he knows, incredible. The Kutzker said, call that learning, doesn't know anything. Okay, he should have a bracha, he should be better. He came back, he was very confused. In the end, his son had a full recovery. So he came back to the Rebbe to thank him and to tell him, And he just asked the Rebbe, the father of the Adni Nezer came to the Kotzker, and he asked him, like, what did the Rebbe mean when he said that? Like, my son's a goyin. So he said, listen, he was sick. Obviously, he had something on him from Shemayim. You were saying, he knows everything. So then what's the point of him living? So I said, he knows nothing. He hasn't yet begun to live. I gave him a new reason to live. A person that thinks that he knows everything has no reason to live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Beseder. But a person that recognizes that he doesn't have anything, this is the whole root of humility, that he's just starting now, he doesn't know anything, he's someone that could really continuously grow, and someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously invests the whole chiyus of life into him, because he's going to grow and he's going to become bigger.
Fine, I don't know everything.
Now you could live. Now you could start. Now you're ready to exist. Right. In the next line that this verse Yisrael Yachin explains, the law yalef katalachayach. A guy that doesn't yalef, so the Bakhtu don't learn yalef means learn. The first Yisrael argues, and he says it needs to teach, which changes the pshat very, very much. It means a guy that decides not to teach what he knows, he's going to be chayav misa. So here the first Yisrael also has a few things, and he traces it also to conceit, to pride. Maybe. He offers two reasons for such behavior. He says one of them is that a guy knows stuff. He says, why should I teach? I know it. I'm going to teach it to another guy, then he's going to know it. He wants to have a monopoly on all his Torah knowledge. Why should anyone else know what I know? Do you know what I know? So that obviously is a terrible trait. Not only that, but the point of knowledge is not to know anything. The point of it is to bring it into your heart. So he's just totally missing the boat of everything. Another reason for the haughty guy that he doesn't want to teach others is that he feels like, oh, what's the point in teaching these people? They're such peons compared to me. You know, like, what am I going to teach them? Just now, someone told me that he was in a shir, and the guy was speaking to a bunch of, like, high school kids that probably don't know anything and probably are driving him crazy, so I don't blame him, but one of the kids asked him, like, a good question, and he said, listen, when you keep all 613 mitzvahs, you can come ask me that question. Until then, you know, like, something like that, you know. Teach a person, like, he doesn't know something, you can tell him, like, explain it to him. But obviously they were driving him crazy enough that he had to say something like that. The point is that when you want to teach, when you have something and you give it over to someone else, that's called teaching. That is the chesed that you can do. Maybe I'm just thinking, that fits in with the parsha. Chidushe Harim asks on the parsha with the man. He says the Yidden in the desert, they had man. Their clothing never wore out. They had clothes. They had clouds of glory. They had everything they needed. So they had no capability of chesed. So how did they give chesed to each other? He says, how do they give the chut shel chesed? They can't. We can't live without chesed. So he says that the only chesed that they give was the man. The man tasted like any food, but he says, it brings down from some medrash, the man only tasted from food that you knew. So if you didn't know that there was something called sirloin steak, because you grew up in wherever, so then you could never taste sirloin steak. So they would tell each other, hey man, you should think about a sirloin steak today. And he would think about it, and he would taste it, and he would be like, wow, thank you. That was the chesed that you give to each other. And the different, that's what he says, the chesed shirim. Someone told me this, I didn't see. Another shot could be, I mean, I said simply, yeah.
That's why they call it a McRoyal, not a quarter pound with cheese.
Yeah.
They don't really know.
I hear. You have to know exactly.
If you're in Europe, it's McRoyal, because there's no pounds.
Mm-hmm. But I guess if, right. I guess they even taste different, so depends.
You have a quarter pound. Yeah.
Another way you could explain it simply would be to smile at another person. You see another guy, say, "Hey, what's up?" You know. I'm sure they were sometimes up and down. It wasn't like they were never depressed. And now the guy's depressed, and you smile at him. That's chesed. Another reason what we were just speaking about now is that in the midbar, what were they doing? Rav Avram ben Harambam, son of the Rambam, says that what they would do was in the midbar in the 40 years. It doesn't seem like they were doing much. I mean, they were going places. They had like some issues with,
bones,
you know,
with
stuff. What?
They were carrying bones of all the shepherds.
Of the that thing. What were they doing for 40 years every day, man? What were they doing? So he says that what they would do was Moshe Rabbeinu would teach them a halacha, would teach them a piece of Torah. Then they would go out of the yeshiv, out of the camps, and they would daven about that Torah. Like Nachman says, to change all your tefillos, Torah into tefillah. And they would say, Hashem, first of all, what does this mean? And they would crack it open, what does it mean? And they would say, Hashem, help me become a Kayaman. And understand what it means deeply and remember it into my heart. And they would spend the whole day working on that piece of Torah. So that's the case. What this mission is saying.
What Torah did they
get? The whole Torah.
But did they go in order that we.
Not the Torah Shavuot, the Torah Shavuot. Meaning like all the
commandments?
No, the Torah of the Gemara. Meaning all the stuff that the Gemara was orally transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Klal Yisrael. It was all oral transmission until it was written down in the Mishnah and in the Gemara.
Did you ever play the game Broken Telephone?
Yeah.
Do you think that might have happened? Like one person tells something to somebody else, and by the time it comes along, it's
if it did, I mean, that's hard.
Now we can't tear toilet paper. See, where back then it was probably.
In the Gemara itself, you have sometimes that you see right. That's true. Like one guy says, "I heard it like this," another guy says, "I heard it like that." But in the end. Most of them concur as to what really was said. You had very, very holy people that would remember it or memorize it, and then they would argue with each other.
The
Arab rabbi. How do you call the Arab rabbi in English?
The current Israeli government.
The Israeli government built the cap, not the populace. The Heilig Yidden in Tel Aviv did not build the government. Anyways, that's from Jerusalem cap.
Arnav has nothing to do with it, right?
Yeah. So,
He wasn't involved.
I was not involved. I'm away.
Arnav said, forget it.
You have pure intentions. You can mess up even with pure intentions.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so over here, the other shot would be that since they were sitting in the desert learning, so if another person knew something, he figured something out, he would share it with the other guy, that would be called chesed oso. Here, I just figured out this var. Yesterday we were speaking about this, and we hear this shot that connects with the other Torah that we were learning, and he would share it with another person, that would be considered giving. Not doing that is mamash like killing another person, because you're depriving him of spiritual life. He says that the verse still adds that this applies even to any information that you know. Right? You happen to know that some sort of tree oil is amazing for this and this thing. You tell it to people. Share the information. Don't be a hoarder of good information, even if it has nothing to do with the Torah. If you figure something else out in your life, you can share it with other people.
He told me to go to Shimon for a haircut. Yeah?
Right. Sometimes it's not good advice.
Told
me
not to go to
Shimon. Oh, no. What? Or the Chalak. The Yitzvah itself, what's the end of the Mishnah? He uses the crown of Torah to support the trough of his putrid conceit. Those are the words of the Yochin. He, such a person, will not merit a long or fulfilling life. On the phrase of La Moisif Yosef, not adding the tracks, the Rishus Chachma says, this is like what we were speaking about just now, that just as a person is mechuyev in the Torah, a man at least, to have offspring, he's mechuyev to get married and produce offspring, so to a person is mechuyev to produce Torah knowledge, meaning to come up with new Torah knowledge. A lot of people think, like, well, who am I? Why can I can't think of a new Torah thing? No, every person is mechuyev to do that. And the letters of Gedaliah Kenig that came out, they were in the middle of coming out, these volumes, Shari Tzadik, so he has this long, like, 3 pages of letter, in one of his letters that I was just reading, that is all about, you have to write down. You have to think, and you have to come up with your own ideas and write them down. That's what Rishus Chachma is saying also, that you have to not only come up with a cool idea, you're on Shabbos, you come up with a great vart, and you told it over to some guy, that's great. And then after Shabbos, one of the most important things is to write it down. A lot of tzaddikim, that was their minhag. On Shabbos, they would have all sorts of thoughts. Much of Shabbos, right, they would sit with pen and paper, and they would write it down. Not only that, but then work on it to bring it into yourself to remember it. Not to forget whatever Torah that you did. Because a person that does that, Hashem, this is what the Rishus Chachma says, a person that does that, he thinks of all sorts of great thoughts, but he doesn't remember them, he doesn't write them down. Hashem says, why am I giving you these thoughts? I'm not giving you them so you should have like a quick high and be like, wow, the Torah is so cool, and then go weiter. I'm giving it to them to write them down, to work on them, and to produce them and bring them into the world. So the Rishus Chachma adds that a person who does create Kedushim and does review them and does write them down, he says like this, he merits to have a holy soul pour into his being, and he becomes literally like an angel. Mamash, a person that has Kedushim Torah, and he writes it down, mamash, tremendous uplifting experience. The Kamarna Rebbe, who wrote this paper called Vayitzer Chesed, I think is on the Avos, he sees that this Mishnah is actually a very cool warning against the foolish Hasidim. You know, here we are in a Hasidish Shiva, we have to be warned against the foolish Hasidim.
Hasidim too?
As is known, what is the foolish Hasidim? So, as is known in Torah, the only way that you can get to really serving Hashem, Lishma, for Hashem, for Himself, for Tzadik, is only Mitoch Shalor Lishma, Balishma, only through sitting and learning and doing mitzvahs and serving Hashem because of all the ulterior motives in the world. You want to have fame, you want to have this, you want to have that, as long as it's not going against Hashem, but you have to use the Shalor Lishma. As we've said in Mishnah 3, we said that, how is that going to work? You're never going to get to Lishma. You have to have it in mind that you eventually want to get to serving Hashem for pure intentions. The only way to get there is through this Shlo Lishma. Now I'm working you know, giving myself all sorts of incentives. If I finish this parak, I'm going to make a huge CM, and someone else is going to pay for it. There's going to be tons of steak. He had a lot of steak, and there's a freezer. If anyone's interested in making a CM, I'm sure he'll sponsor it if you finish a mesefta or something.
He has it's a dog.
Also, he'll give you the dog. Also. Anyways, so the Shalom Lishma brings to Lishma. But however, the Kamarna says that even when a person starts, and he starts, but he has all the wrong intentions, but he knows that he's going to do it because he wants to get to the right intentions, and then he sits there and he breaks himself and he says, ah, it's hard, I don't want to learn, but I want to finish and I want to get to the scene and I want to have a good party and I want to have whatever it is, the ulterior motives that he's using to propel himself forward, and he starts and he breaks himself through. So all of a sudden, when he breaks and he learns and he starts opening up to the Torah, he starts to all of a sudden see this awesome light. Wow, the Torah is amazing. The Torah is so deep. It's so incredible. He starts to get the light of Shalom Lishma. He says the light of Shalom Lishma in of itself is such an awesome light that the guy all of a sudden can fool himself and start to think, I'm so holy. I'm learning the Torah. It's shining into my soul. I'm like an angel, devoid of all physicality. And he starts to think that he's so big and he's so awesome. And then he starts to think, wow, I'm only going to learn. Forget about that sin. Forget about all that stuff. I'm just going to learn from Hashem because of the light. And sure, then what's going to end up happening when that light goes away around 8 minutes later, he's not going to learn at all. He's not going to do anything. And he's going to end up in Am Haaretz and not learning and going all the way to the other side. So that's what the Kamara says this mission is actually alluding to in a drushy Hasidic type of way. He reads it into the words like this: a guy that does not learn, misa. Right? Why is he not learning at all? Why? Because he thinks that he's gotten to the whole thing. He's already gotten to the light of Torah. What then is the right approach? Then they read the next words of the Mishnah. Chalaf. The last word of the Mishnah is he who uses the crown, chalaf. So he learns up like this. Ishtamish betaga means using the crown. So the whole time we've been learning that to mean that Ishtamish betaga, using the crown of Torah, is a bad thing. You're using Torah for the wrong reasons, to make a party? No. He says now this guy who thinks that he's not going to learn, he's not learning at all because he thinks he's seen the light, he has to do Ishtamish betaga. He has to start using the crown of Torah and say, yeah, I'm going to learn and I'm going to do all these things because I want to be a big guy and I want to make siyumim and I want to have good things and I want people to think I'm a great guy. Fine. He has to use the crown. And then, the last word of the Mishnah says, chalaf. Chalaf literally means pass. So the regular understanding of the word that we've been speaking about in the Mishnah was he passes from this world. But the Kamarna says totally different. He says this pasuk in Yeshaya, a famous pasuk, usually we don't know pasukim in Yeshaya, it says, koya ve'ashen yachalifu koya. Right? It says in one of the Zemiros, I think, we sing it, it's a song. Those who hope in Hashem will have renewed strength. Yachalifu, Hashem will pass over and give them new strength. So he says, this guy with the Shamash Betaga, who starts learning and says, even if I've seen light from the learning Shalom Lishma, I recognize that I have to continue learning Shalom Lishma. He's in the Shamash Betaga, Chalaf, Hashem eventually will switch it, will transfer it, and pass it over from Shalom Lishma. All of a sudden he's going to have the Kedusha and continues to learn, to all of a sudden be learning entirely for the sake of Hashem. Amen. Hashem is a Kedusha, amen, v'amen. Shabbat.